welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, March the 23rd, 2014.
Well, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we begin tonight, and just as we sing Friend of God and then a couple of hymns right behind that. Who am I?
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing.
Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we just thank you for that promise and the comfort to know that tonight. And I pray that what we've sung tonight already would be an encouragement to us as we take them away from here this week, as we go about in our businesses and in our walk, that we know you're our friend and we can express that through your love. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask the ladies ensemble if they would to come and share with us at this time.
Watch and pray. I give me.
going to sing just a few more songs together tonight at this time. We'll take the offering toward the end of the service after Harry and B come and tell us about their ministry and what they're going to be doing. I taught this chorus probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years after I came. I was at a music conference and learned this chorus entitled, Lord, Give Me a Willing Heart. And haven't sung it in quite a while, but I want to use that tonight with Lord, You Have My Heart, and then we'll close with I Offer My Life. Lord, Give Me a Willing Heart.
Lord, give me a willing heart. Lord, give me a brand new start. And create me a love that's real. Give me a willing heart.
I'm thank you, Fred. Well, we're glad to be caught up on Harry and Bea, and Bea spent considerable time this past summer in Togo, and there were details and so forth to work through, and then the Lord has kind of opened up some new doors for them, and we thought you'd be interested in hearing about that. So,
in my Sunday school class, we've been working through the Psalms, and in Psalm 22, the psalmist talks about the Lord who goes before, and I was thinking about that when we think about how God has prepared us for these ministries, and that God went before and brought us here to grace so that we would be able to do all this. I don't think, you know, pastor just sends out missionaries, and I don't know of other pastors who do that. And I think it's, and even before that, it was being a good friend of John and Mary Ramsey's in college and giving Harry a heart and ability in Rook so that we would come through Chattanooga all the time to visit John and Mary and use that to bring us here to Grace, and just how Grace has been so instrumental in every facet of what we've done in every way, and how much we appreciate it. And you may or may not know that you gave me at least $1,000, probably more, to go to Togo last summer. And so I thought I'd better give you a little bit of an accounting of it. I've received two or three Tyndale House grants, two grants so far from Tyndale House that have enabled me to print books and write them and this sort of thing. And so I'd finished almost all the curriculum by the time we left at the end of 2012. The years just passed by. And so I still had history and geography and science mostly left to do. So I wrote for another Tyndale House grant. And so I got the money, and science was more pressing. Actually, I spent 3 months over there last summer doing this science curriculum, and I was able to revise second grade math curriculum that we hadn't quite finished the year before, but I had just a great Togolese teacher who just stuck with it, and he did almost all the work. I did the typing, but he made all the changes. He's just a fabulous teacher and did a good job with that, so I was able to do that. And then our schools are the only schools in Togo that teach reading first in the children's mother tongue. Now, you may think that's unusual, but, I mean, you grow up learning to read in English because that's what you understand from childhood. But in Togo, they try to teach them in French, though they don't know a word of French. So the kids end up learning to pronounce the French texts. They don't understand them, but we teach them in Ewe and Kabye first in a language that they know. And so we were able to revise some of those curriculums in the first and second grade, and then we revised a little bit of the French phonics that we start. But mostly what I spent my summer doing was revising science, writing science. And you have to start with the exams first, because that's the important thing. And then you go with all the books that they're used to using and cull through and just start from there anyway. But before starting the science, we had to be clear about what we were trying to accomplish with the students. And it was just really heartening to see the teachers work through this. You know, we're not just preparing kids to pass science exams. Why exactly do we want them to learn science? And so we came up with two reasons that we learn science in Togo. One, to know God. We learn from Psalm 19, 1 through 4, that the earth tells us all about God. And the more we know about science, the more we can learn about God. And secondly, to accomplish our responsibility to oversee and take care of what he's created here on earth. And so once that was, you know, once the teachers got sight of that, you know, that helped them think better about what they were doing and the difference between our schools and the national schools that just want the kids to put the right answer on the test, whether they understand it or not. So we spent 1 week just having a workshop. I brought in 8 or so of the best teachers, of my best elementary school teachers, and we worked through this science curriculum, looking at all the exam questions, looking at available curriculum and all that. And then I spent, 2 months just typing it into student books and teachers' manuals for those things. And then we spent 2 days at the very end in September teaching them that these teachers who devised this curriculum taught it to the rest of the teachers who were going to be teaching it. So that's how we spent the summer. And it was just a great project to be involved in because it reminded me once again that we're headed in the right direction with our schools, that we have quality personnel in Togo to continue what we're doing, and that we Americans don't have to do everything. So it was just good to be reminded of that. For now, I've applied again for another Tyndall House grant for this coming summer. I still haven't gotten the history and geography, although I did have my artist do all the maps and artwork and everything for it last summer, so I've got a good foundation. We just haven't pulled it together. So I'd like to be able to go back and just tie that loose end up. And so I'm waiting. I'll hear in May whether I get that grant, and if I do, I'll be able to go in probably July. So we're looking at tickets from Bangladesh to Togo and back, so I don't know. And then I'm also applying for a grant from the John Templeton Foundation. They give away $70 million a year. And one of their slots is for projects about values. And so I'm writing up a grant proposal about, because we have found that you can teach Togolese teachers all the skills you want them to use in the classroom. But if they don't share the values of self-sacrifice and loving children and believing in a future that children will build, they're not going to use those things. So it's the values that are at the heart of any kind of a change. And so I'm hoping that I'll get a large grant from the John Templeton Foundation for developing a mentoring program and a subvert teacher development seminars. And I've been working closely with Andrew about this because he's the one who's going to have to do the whole thing. I'm just writing it. So you can just, as you pray for these two things, that I'll get my Tyndall House grant for this summer and that we'll get this Templeton Foundation grant that Andrew can bother with. Just the great things on the horizon. Andrew and Mary will finish up their language training in Canada at the end of this month, so they'll be here probably the last Sunday in April. And then within 2 weeks, they'll be on their way to Togo. And then Annie Miller, who's over there on the ground now in our Togo school, she's a short-termer American teacher. She'll be coming back at the end of this school year to go to candidate school and raise support in order to go back full-time. And then Christy Sopsisak, who was there the year before Annie and has been here all year trying to raise her support, just called this morning and said she got her last $165 a month this morning. So she'll be on her way next month to Togo. So we're just really excited. It's just good to see how God has just been preparing the way in every bit of this, and how much of it your prayers and support have had as a part of that. And I know most of you probably get our Sunday letters, which I'm starting to crank up, but if you haven't gotten one in the last few weeks, I've written about 2 over the last few weeks, sign up again. Maybe your address has changed or you dropped off the list for some reason, and I'd be glad to keep you up with what we're going to be doing in the future. Thank you so much. I'll leave this right here on the table.
Thank you. It's always good to be back home. Now, that's an interesting word for missionaries. We are strangers and pilgrims in the earth, but you folks are our home. So it's always good to be back. And as a good educational technique, you go from the known to the unknown. All right? Togo was the known, and now we're going to the unknown. So you might ask yourself, they're going where? Bangladesh, yes. Now, where in the world, what's going on? Well, you know, we're leaving Togo. We're leaving it for Andrew and Mary. So you might say we're dumping all of the problems to them, but they've got the tools to solve everything, go on to the next level and so forth. But where in the world is Bangladesh? All right. If you're looking at India, on the right-hand side of India, just in the little notch right there. Let me see if I can point it out to you. Right there is Chittagong. Now, when India was formed from the old British Empire, many of the areas of India were Hindu, but there were two strong areas that were Muslim, and they became East Pakistan and West Pakistan. So this whole area here was East. This whole area over here was West Pakistan. So East Pakistan used to be the old India section called Bengal. You may have heard of the Royal Bengal Tigers. Well, this is the area. There's not many tigers left there, and you'll see that in just a second. But about 40 years ago, the East Pakistanis got tired of supporting all of the West Pakistanis while the West Pakistanis wanted to run everything. So they had a civil war. So about 40 years ago, they went through all kinds of terrible stuff. But now, where we're going is Chittagong. Chittagong is a huge, major port. If your clothes are not made in China, they're made in Bangladesh. It's about 50-50. And so this section of the country makes clothes, and they have all kinds of what we call sweatshops and all kinds of places like that. But all of your name brand clothes, it's a flip of the coin whether they're made here in Bangladesh or not. So while we're there, we get to see some interesting things. Of course, there's a nice Toyota behind this thing, but there's rickshaws still, bicycles. And here's a truck. And here's a taxi cab. So Bangladesh has some interesting transportation. But as I was telling you about the Civil War, they're still remembering this Civil War 40 years ago. And they're having war crime trials. And as one of these old leaders is convicted, then the opposition has a strike. So they have strikes all the time, almost as much as France has strikes. And so therefore, everybody calls off school. So in December, the school that we're going to had one day of school. All the rest of the time, they had to do it by email, keep the students up to date. It was that bad. Okay, Bangladesh is 90% Muslim. It's a very poor country, but yet it has occupations and jobs and so forth. But we learned that there was a school there called the William Carey Academy, named after the very famous missionary to India, William Carey, that needed a part-time, interim, temporary director and principal and teachers. And they said, why don't you go? And so we said, well, why not? You know, I mean, we're retired. We're just sitting around with nothing to do, right? So we decided it was the Lord's will for us, as far as we knew, that we would go there for the next two school years, unless they find a permanent director before then. Now, some of you, as I'm looking out here in the audience, have a lot more qualifications to do this than I do. A lot more qualifications. So maybe God will be calling you permanently to do this job. We're just there temporarily. So here's some of the kids. This is a totally different kind of school than the schools that we created in Togo. This is a school that appeals to mid and upper level Bangladeshis, is the way you say that. And so it's a top level school. These are ones that will probably be going to other countries around the world, need to get into other schools. So this is an ACSI accredited school in Bangladesh. So here's some pictures of some of the kids. Again, it's still 90% Muslim. So your testimony, your working with them is a soft testimony type of situation. Kids just as adorable as they are here. And of course, teenagers are the same anywhere in the world. See, these are the four zombies, I think. And of course, they have girls basketball, boys basketball. So it's a big time school. And here's one of the graduating classes. They just had their first graduating class, I think, in 2006. It's a K-12 school. They have about 350 students. In addition to that, they have a school that's sort of off to the side, which is like more like what the Togo schools were that we had and so forth, that appeals to the poor students. But the school is basically a mid or upper level school, and it's taught in English. So there is no foreign language problem, folks. There is no excuse for not coming to help us. If you're a teacher, we can use you, okay? And here's a little newsletter that they just put out recently. You can see here, that's their choir. There's the men's basketball. There's a couple of the classes up here. And I don't know that you can see it well, but off to the left is a current list of all of the teachers that they can use. And there are all kinds of needs there. They can set you up with a place to live, place to eat, take care of everything. All you have to do is go and teach for about $1,800 a month. Nice guest house, food, transportation, you know, everything, and you're all set. So this is what we're planning on doing for the next 2 years, next two school years. There's us with a few less wrinkles, a few more hairs in our head. So that's basically what our goal is for the next 2 years. Now, we've covered a lot of ground here. Come on back up, B. And we always like to leave plenty of time for folks at our home to ask us questions, because we may have not covered the subjects that you need. The first question you'll probably have is, when are you going? Well, there are two obstacles to us going. One is I have some biopsy things that are coming back on Wednesday to let us know how I am physically to go, and we'll wait and see how that turns out. The second thing is the visa process. You just don't apply for a visa in Washington and get to go. A tourist can do that, but if you're anything over 2 weeks, you have to go through a process where they send your name and application to the capital city, Dhaka, and then they give you permission on a form, send it back here to the United States. We can do that by email, and then apply to Washington, get your visa, arrive at the border. They give you a temporary visa, and then you go apply for your permanent visa. So it's a long, drawn process because it is a Muslim-controlled country, and they want to keep their country the way they want to have it. So we're in the middle of that process. We haven't got the first step yet. They applied for that a couple of weeks ago. So when that occurs and this biopsy's taken care of, we're ready to go. All right. Now,
Two weeks.
Okay.
At least 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. We estimate anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks we should be there.
And we've got to try to see Annie and Vitaly off in between that time. So we've got a few things we're working on here. And you might just pray for Anne and Vitaly. They have till Thursday, the 27th, to get money back on their tickets if they want to make changes or something. So they've got to make some kind of decision about whether or not they're planning tentatively to go back, but just that the Lord would be clear about what he wants them to do.
So our family's scattered all over the world. Okay. All right, now, questions. What have we not covered, okay? This school was started by an ABWE missionary, and most of the staff has about 30 teachers. all of the upper level staff are American teachers. So the elementary teachers are Bangladeshis, but the upper level are all visiting teachers that come in and work. And technically what they did was they created a separate organization called the NGO, non-governmental organization, that has its own board, which the majority are missionaries. And so it's technically separate because it has to be with the government, but it's run all by ABWE. Good question. Okay. Yes.
Now, will you?
Is that a volunteer? Did I see that hand?
Not next week. Are you going to be the principal then?
I will be the interim director, and there are openings for both high school and middle school principal. So we may have a volunteer for that. I'm not sure.
We've got a book. I borrowed a book from the high school office about, you know, how to be a principal. So that ought to cut it.
God uses who's available. We're available. Some of you have a lot more qualification for this. I'm serious. But we're available, so we're ready to go.
The thing is, Harry's just a great administrator, and he didn't know anything about hospitals when he went to Togo. And I think, you know, you can learn, pick up the things. And I don't know how much of being a principal here transfers, although it helps that it's an ACSI school. I'm hoping they have a lot of things written down about what you got to do, but... you know, we just do what we need to do.
It's a soft approach. Do you have Bible classes so they learn the Bible there, or what type of outreach can you have, and are all the teachers Christians?
They don't have an official Bible class. They have what's called moral education. However, because of the family structures in the Muslim world, what they have found is that many of the students have really, in their heart, accepted the Lord, but they don't make it public till after they leave the country. So that's when most of them actually make a public decision because of all the problems that they would have in their family and so forth. And so the school has graduates in schools all over the world. I mean, they've only had graduating classes for, what, 6, 7, 8 years? But they've been accepted because of their accreditation. They've got schools all over the world. And that's usually when they become publicly a Christian at that point. Okay, good questions. Yeah, it started with Dr. Viggo Olson and many of his co-workers, Mr. Bullock, Dr. Bullock, and several of, I don't know, Doc, do you know any of some of the other missionaries that were there early in the days?
Ebersol's,
Jess Eaton, let's see, the ones that are in Togo now, Grandpa and Grandma.
Bob Adolphs
were there. A number of missionaries went and started the hospital. The hospital is about 3 hours drive. Really ought to be about a half hour drive, but it's about a 3 hour drive from where we will be in Chittagong, up in the more of a rural area. And so that, actually southeast, further down the coast. So that's what gave us the good testimony so that the Muslim country will let us in. And that medical work opened up many doors. Medical works have a way of getting in to places that can't happen any other way. And because of that good testimony that they had, and because the lives that they saved and the good testimony that they have, other ministries have started because of that now. So there's numbers of churches. Of course, we now have the school and other ministries that I'm probably not even aware of. But we'll be going to the hospital there for our field council or group meetings and so forth at the same time when they have those about every quarter. It's a good ministry. So if you're in the medical area, Bangladesh is a great place to go to. Togo's got 2 hospitals. Bangladesh has got a 3rd. So... if you're into medical ministries, ABWE is where you want to go. You've got choices. Okay. Other questions?
Did you say that there are other Christian teachers there, and also is there a church group that you can connect together with? I'm sure they are a church group.
Okay, what I've been told is that all of the teachers are Christians. The upper level are Americans, basically short-termers that come through ABWE for a year, 2 years, 3 years. The elementary school teachers are Bangladeshi Christians that teach. I don't know what they do for their services. By the way, they're not on Sunday. Their work week in the Muslim world is Sunday through Thursday. So their church services are on Friday. So we will find out. That's why I said we went from the known to the unknown. All of those pictures you saw were borrowed pictures. I've never been to the Bangladesh yet, so we don't know. Okay, other questions? Surely we've not answered everything, okay? Oh, support. You know, we're wealthy retired missionaries. We really, you know, we had enough to live on over there. You know, third world countries are a place to retire to, folks. You know, it's cheap to live there. So the only thing we really needed was air travel and our visa costs and inoculations, that kind of thing. So, you know, $4,000 or $5,000, and we're there, and we can live off, you know, what we have here locally.
Some of our supporters have stayed with us. And most of you and others supported Andrew and Mary as we asked, and we're happy now that we still have some support. And actually, when Jack Walker asked last week if we needed support, and I said, I really don't think so. And he said, well, that's not the point. He says, where people's treasure is, there's their heart, so you better start asking people to give to you again so that they will pray for you. So if it will help you to pray for us better, we're happy for you to give to us. But, you know, God has been just really gracious to us.
There must be an expat, I think, that send their kids to that school.
Yeah, if you have kids at the hospital or the other ministries there, you send your kids to the school. For the majority of the 90% of the school are Bangladeshis, so it's not a boarding school. But if you have a couple of kids that are from the missionaries up in the hospital and so forth, they may stay with some of the other missionary families there. A lot of traffic back and forth. Somebody had a question over here. Yes.
Do I recall that Bangladesh is regularly hit by just overwhelming typhoons and flooding, and will that be in your area also?
Typhoons and all in our area.
Yes. Anytime you have a tsunami or heavy rains, they all funnel into Bangladesh, right in the corner. So the whole area is very low-lying, so they have flooding almost every year, multiple times every year. So it's an area very hard hit for weather.
But it's a six-story building, so they must know something about keeping things safe there, or thinking.
Yes, this is interesting now. A six-story building where all the classes are held, you saw the picture of it, and there is no elevator. This is going to be your heart-healthy missionaries going up and down six floors here. Okay, when we actually get there and begin the school year, we will live in the building next door because they have a couple of apartments there. Temporarily, we go there. They have a full guest house. So we'll just go stay there at, you know, $10 a day or something like that. So they give us a great price. You know, I'm telling you folks, it's cheap to live in a third world country. You know, food's cheap, everything's cheap, except that you don't always get good electricity. You know, electricity is a problem.
And
And Doc doesn't have to worry about my lack of Sam's Club because I'll have a cook and house help there too. So there's another advantage.
Okay.
All of them.
All of them. Yes.
Yes. See, the problem is, they, while they don't necessarily support the strikes, you get beaten up if you're out on the streets. And so it's just too risky to go out when they call these strikes. And so you just don't.
Yeah. When the opposition calls a strike, they make sure that everybody's closed. They send groups of their thugs around to do it. I'm sure they announce it some way. There's plenty of, I mean, the city we're going to is a city of 6 million people. I mean, there's infrastructure all over the place. There's several newspapers, TV stations, radio stations, so it's easy to get the word out there.
It's one of the largest ports in the world, so it's a very active city and cosmopolitan, though poor cosmopolitan.
They told us there are two types of mosquitoes. The daytime mosquito will give you dengue fever, and the evening mosquito will give you malaria. So we sleep under a canopy to try to ward off the mosquitoes.
And take a malaria prophylaxis. I don't know if they have a dengue fever prophylaxis.
I don't think so. But we're young and strong. We can handle it, right? Okay.
Thank you.
Last chance. Fire away. Let us, again, thank you for your support, your prayers. You truly are our family, and we appreciate you and love you all. And if we can do anything for you, give us a call. And some of you are sitting out there wondering if you should come to Bangladesh, and I'm telling you, God is telling you yes. God is telling you yes. Okay, thank you.
Whew. Mercy. That's an interesting opportunity that you all have, and I think we'll probably have to send some people to sort of scout it out and see how you're doing and everything. I was just sitting there thinking about Harry's first presentation to us and the presentation he has now, and I noticed that the longer he stays on the field, the more he knows the Lord's will for all of us, doesn't he? So, you know, this is refreshing and all. Well, we'd like to take an offering because we'd like to show where our heart is. And so, unless otherwise designated, this offering is going to go to the wards to help them. And I know that Harry was telling me all of the different shots that he had to have and the inoculations and things like that. So there's just a lot of stuff to be done. So, Father, for this offering, we thank you. We thank you for Harry and B that you will indeed go before them and that you'll bless this work now. In Jesus' name, amen. That have just evaded me, and I've known them, but they've just evaded me, and that's one of the things that happens when you're almost as old as Harry. What is there, 10 days between us? Yeah, those are an important 10 days, though. Carol Hurlbut fell, and she's been at Erlanger, and they're talking about some surgery. She
I think, crushed a shoulder in the fall. And so, you know, you're going to just want to keep up with that. That is Barry's mother, Barry Hurlbut's mother. So we're praying particularly for Carol. And then we prayed a couple of weeks ago for Ed and Laura Welsh's daughter, Susan. And Susan, what is her name now?
Burnett.
What?
Burnett.
Okay, she and her husband had twins, and they had to have them up at Vanderbilt. And the one baby's doing fine, and the other baby is going to have surgery soon. In fact, they're saying surgery potentially on Tuesday. And I don't know the baby's name. Does anybody know the baby's name? McKinley? Okay, so McKinley will be having surgery. So, and I don't think that this is the last surgery for this child. I think the child's going to have several surgeries to correct. And I don't know exactly what it is. So we want to just pray for McKinley and pray for Carol and everything. Bill Fortner, would you just stand and pray and talk to the Lord for McKinley and for Carol?
Father, we thank you that we can come to this family, those within our church family, and those that are in your family. We thank you for the privilege we have of praying for these and have a special day. And we do pray for Carol that we would pray healing hands upon her, pray for the surgeon as surgery is performed, if that's necessary, that we're doing this way, that the great position you would choose to touch her and restore her. Lord, for this precious child, we pray for him that once again, it's a great position you would touch this child. We pray for strength for the mother and dad and the rest of the family. We just pray that your grace, that your sufficient will be poured out to them and to minister to them. Thank you for the child that's healthy. We pray that you continue to help that child to grow. And we just ask God that you would intercede, that you would have mercy on this precious child who needs your surgery. Thank you again for what we have seen and heard tonight. We pray for Dee and Harry and their ministry. Thank you, God, for using them, letting us be a part of that work. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I do not want to just ignore, you know, newsy items that we find occasionally. Doug, is there anything you want to announce to us?
Do you think everybody already knows? Well, maybe you know. Come on, Doug. There's probably one here that Doug.
Everybody greeted me today. Okay. Facebook, everybody.
So the two of you got engaged on Saturday night? Okay.
We're sure happy for both of you, and what a blessing and everything and all. And so I think the thing that's so exciting to me is for many years we've tried to instruct Trish in music, and we knew that she needed a good bass in her life to sort of help her with these things. And so we're going to count on you in this regard. Anyway, congratulations. And we're glad Lynn came back for yet another visit and all. That's neat. Well, lots of things going on, and so we need to pray for one another. You pray for Don and Rhonda. I don't exactly know how we help them at this point in time other than continuing to pray for them, and we'll see what God opens along the way. And Paul would remind us that there's some cleaning and painting that need to be done at the Red Brick House, and that's to get it ready for, I think it's the Googes coming in a few weeks. And so that's why we're doing that. I think it's a good place for people to stay, and we want to just kind of spiffy it up a little bit and all. Lord bless you. Have a great, great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.